Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. We are doing Melachim Aleph and we are up to Perek Beis. This is a long Perek, it's 46 psukim long. Let's try to do a quick summary and then thoughts to take away. So in this Perek, this is really the last wishes of David HaMelech. This is David HaMelech's death, which is in this Perek. David HaMelech gathers in Shlomo. And Chazal tell us at this age, Shlomo is the ripe age of 12 years old. So you can imagine the kind of conversation one may be having with a child that's 12 years old. This is a very serious conversation. David starts off by saying that Shlomo, when I go, you're going to v'chazak tova yisola ish. You have to be a man. And what does that mean? V'shamarto es mishmeres Hashem lekecha. You need a God Hashem's mishmeres. You need a God Hashem's guardship, the Torah. You need to walk in His ways, follow His statutes, and if you do this, then you'll be taskil b'chol asher telech. You're going to be successful, and you're going to b'chol asher taseh. You're going to understand. You're going to have a chachma in everything you do, which we're going to see later is very relevant. Then David HaMelech says, but there's a few scores I need you to settle. So David HaMelech mentions three scores. First of all, Yoav ben Tseruya. He says, you know what he did to Avner and to Amasa. He killed them, Demei Milchama B'Shalom. He killed them as if they were at war when they were actually at peace. They weren't expecting it. Therefore, he says, do Kachach Masecha. To make sure that he does not end up in an assisted living. V'loi Tared Tzei Masa B'Shalom. Don't allow him to die in peace. Then he says, Barzilai HaGiladi, this was the gentleman on the east side of the Jordan who welcomed David in when David was in flight from Avshalom. He says, make sure that you take care of him and his children, that they should always be eating off your table because of what he did for me. And finally, Shimi ben Gera was the person who, when I was coming out of Yerushalayim, cursed me a terrible curse when I was fleeing from Avshalom, and I swore I wouldn't hurt him, and make sure that you do not acquit him. Make sure that he again as well, use your chachma to make sure that he is brought down in death, brought down in blood, not at a good old age. And David HaMelech then passes away and is buried in Ir David. And the Tanakh is pretty clear in this transition point to say, Vatikon Malchusai Ma'od. As Shlomo HaMelech ascends the throne, his kingship was extremely established. Ma'od is a word that Tanakh uses when it wants to tell you how strong it is, and this is what happens when Shlomo HaMelech takes this post. So now what happens immediately afterwards? A few interesting episodes happen afterwards. The first thing is that Adoniah, remember, is the older stepbrother of Shlomo, who tried to take the kingship in Perek Aleph. He now comes over to Bathsheba, and he says, Bathsheba, please, if you wouldn't mind listening, one request. She says, what is the request? He says, please, if it's all right, I'd really like to be, if it's all right, if I could marry Avishag. Avishag, again, is this young lady who took care of David HaMelech in his old age. And Bathsheba says, I'll try. She goes to Shlomo. She says, Shlomo, would you please listen? I have one request. And he says, what is it? And she says, well, you know, would you mind if Adoniah, your older brother, who says he's accepting your kingship, would be able to marry Avishag? And Shlomo HaMelech gets very upset. Shlomo HaMelech senses betrayal. And he, Vayishav HaMelech Shlomo, he made an oath and he says, Ki benafshoi diber Adoniah b'dov hazeh. Adoniah has now sealed his life on this one. And Shlomo HaMelech goes and tells Benayahu ben Yehoyada, who's his kohen, go kill him and that's it. Adoniah is now killed for this request. The next thing that happens is Eviasa. Remember, Eviasa was the kohen, the son of Achimelech, who escaped from Ir Noah Kohanim, was David HaMelech's kohen, but he was replaced by Tzadok. And remember, he was the one who Adoniah used in his rebellion. So what Shlomo does is he says, Eviasa, he says, I'm putting you in a certain sense in exile. You're going to you're not allowed to leave because you're an Ishmaves. He chases him out from fulfilling the role of being a kohen, and which by the way is the fulfillment of the curse of the house of Eli, of which Eviasar is the last survivor. He doesn't kill him, but he, in a certain sense, bans him. Then he turns to Yoav. Yoav reads the writing on the wall, runs to the Mizbeach and holds the Mizbeach and says to Benayahu, when Benayahu comes to get him, he says, you can't kill me, I'm on the Mizbeach, I have clemency. Benayahu returns to Shlomo and says, what should I do? He's not leaving the Mizbeach, can't really get him off. So Shlomo says, don't worry. His blood is meaningless. His blood is already spilled. You can kill him right there and remove him that way. And so that's what Benayahu does. He went and kills him on the Mizbeach of Hashem and then pulls him off. The next thing that happens is Shimi. So remember, he can't just kill Shimi. Shimi hasn't killed anybody. He cursed the king, and the king promised not to kill him. So what Shlomo does is he sets up a way in which Shimi is going to die. So he says to Shimi, you're not allowed to leave Yerushalayim to go to Nachal Kidron. If you leave, you're going to die. And Shimi accepts it. He says, Tova Davar. He says, that's fine. But a few years later, what ends up happening is a couple servants of Shimi run away to Gat, and so Shimi figures he gets onto his mule, runs off, and he's onto his donkey, goes and gets them from Achish in Gat, and Shlomo hears about this, and he brings him in front of him and says, "Look, this is the contract you signed. You said it was Tov, and now you went out of Yerushalayim, and so the king says, your badness is on your head, your evil is on your head. He tells Yehoyada to kill him, Benayah ben Yehoyada to kill him." And the perek ends with the four words, "Vamelacha nachona biyad Shlomo." The kingship was established in the hands of Shlomo. That's the end of the perek. So a pretty long perek, a lot of very different things going on over here. Let's try to see if we can string all those pieces together very briefly. A few basic questions to focus on. Question number one is why did David HaMelech not settle these scores during his lifetime? So we know that it was impossible for David HaMelech to really settle the score with Yoav. He was too scared of Yoav. Yoav was too powerful. Yoav did a lot of good things. David HaMelech was not able to do that. So he says to Shlomo, find a way to kill him. And Shlomo HaMelech, in fact, is less concerned with Yoav. Yoav has already acted in rebellion to Shlomo by siding with Adonijah, which is why he has a little more success in this realm. Now, the Chida points out that David HaMelech made an oath to Shimi. Why did he not kill Shimi right away? So this is actually very fascinating, relates to Purim. It's that Shimi ultimately is the ancestor of Mordechai HaYehudi, who is the savior of the Jews in the future. David HaMelech knew that was to be true, but Mordechai's ancestor was not yet born when Shimi had cursed David, which is why David HaMelech gives him those years, and because of those years, from him is born Shimi, the ancestor of Mordechai, and at the end of his life, he knows that that's already been accomplished. Now Shimi is a dead man, and that's why he did this shift over right now. It is interesting, in the amount of time that Shaul left Agag alive was the time which Haman's ancestor was born. The amount of time that David HaMelech left Shimi alive was the amount of time that Mordechai was born. In a certain sense, the antagonist and the protagonist of the Megillah are in spaces of mercy which was badly founded, mercy which was rightly founded, almost as a reparation for that. In terms of just a few other points to focus on, this Adonijah request. What in the world is Adonijah doing by asking for Avishag? So if we go back to Shmuel Beis, you remember that Achitophel advised Avshalom, the first step in his rebellion was to rape the wives or the pilagshim of David. In a certain sense, it was demonstrating power because there's a halacha. A woman who's married to the king is not allowed to be married or have a relationship with anybody else, even after the king is not there. So what Achitophel was saying was, Avshalom, to make your stamp on this kingdom, rape the king's wives because that's your way of demonstrating your power. What Adonijah seems to be doing over here is, he says, Shlomo, I believe in you, but Avishag, maybe, and you see there's a quiet grab for power symbolically in requesting Avishag's hand in marriage over here. Why does he turn it to Bathsheba? So he has the terrible game that he's playing. You see, what he's saying is maybe halachically speaking, Avishag wasn't married to the king. Avishag didn't have a relationship with the king, and that's what the Tanakh tells us. Which means to say, who's he speaking to? Who's the person who has a soft spot for this? Is Bathsheba, because Bathsheba would much more prefer that Avishag was not, in fact, in any way connected to David. He had no real relationship with David, and Bathsheba would uphold that. So he turns to Bathsheba, who would be the likely one to present that matter in front of the king. However, Shlomo HaMelech sees through the thin veil and realizes Adonijah is reaching for power and pushing his limits, and he says, you're not going to push my limits, and he kills him. He senses that betrayal. It is interesting that the reason why that a Mizbeach acts as a place that you can't kill on is because Mizbeach, as we know, Mizbeach cannot be made out of gazes, out of cut stones, because that you used a sword is mekatzer the life of people. How can you put a sword on top of the Mizbeach, which brings shalom to the world? It is interesting, when looking at this perek, in a funny sort of way, the killing of these people, the eradicating of all these individuals that Shlomo is doing over here, is ultimately the step towards Shalom. And this is the funniest thing about this entire perek. It all lies together. And that is that in order to create Shalom sometimes, and the word Shalom appears many times in this perek, in order to create Shalom, you need to start with MS first. You know, it's the Emes and Shalom are two opposites sometimes. But as we say at the end of Kriya Shema, in the third bracha, which is just after Kriya Shema, we say Emes v'yatzi v'nochem v'kayim v'yashav v'neman v'ahav v'chav v'nechmod. But Na'im. Na'im is like, it's nice, it's pleasant, it's good. Well, goodness comes well after Emes. Shlomo HaMelech needs to understand, and he has the clarity of vision to understand, that if you don't get away rid of evil, people are going to push your limits, people are going to betray you. That ultimately Shalom can never be achieved. The Perek is very clear, and it says it a number of times, that Shlomo HaMelech is established in his kingship. You know why? Because he realized that you cannot play games with people who are going to play games with you, and that's how he established it. Which tells us a lot about Shlomo HaMelech's ability to be able to lead this people. When you think about it from a more global perspective, that's his name, Shlomo. Shalom it relates to the word peace. How do you get peace? Well, the first thing you do is, on the one hand, you diplomatically receive Adonijah back, but when Adonijah pushes that limit, then you make sure that there's no longer an Adonijah. This starts Shlomo's kingship. We're going to move forward to Mitzvah Hashem in the coming few days. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.